24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. And VIBE is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And VIBE is also short for the word vibration. So what is your vibration saying right now? What is your vibration? It's your feelings. And your feelings are based upon what you are thinking about. So to get yourself straight back into alignment, ask yourself, what do I want? So that you will attract that into your life. Now today, I want to talk under the umbrella of beliefs, vision, intention, belief, and expectations. Let's talk about beliefs. And I also want to touch on perspectives, which is what my new book is based mainly about. And I also want to touch a little bit on mental health. What's common among those three things are beliefs, yes? Your beliefs lead into your perspectives, your beliefs lead into your mental health. So I don't have a specific title at this moment, but by the end of the show, I will. Now, the beliefs that we choose to buy into, that is what actually gives us our perspective. We all have different perspectives in the way that we view things. And which perspective will you buy into today? So I'm going to share a few things and I want you to see how it actually impacts your life. What is it that perhaps that you could look at differently? You know, there are tribes that believe that if they take in poisons, like from snakes or from shrubs, that they will actually remain unaffected. Why? Because they believe that their mind controls their body functions. Therefore, that tells us that the body is subject to the mind. I'm sure you've heard or even seen on movies, and of course it is real, it does actually exist if you do your research, where there are certain natural substances that you can take that slow down your heart rate. There are poisons that you can take into your bloodstream that would kill another person, but yet has an effect where it actually just slows your body right down. And a lot of that is based on the belief that you have about that particular medicine or that poison. You actually believe that it cannot affect you. And so our beliefs are very important. I was reading the other day about this church, I can't remember the name of the church, but they were literally taking poisons from like an adder snake and totally remain unaffected because their faith was so high. Your faith is your belief, right? They just had a belief that this poison is not going to affect them. So your beliefs are everything. Your beliefs determine how you see the world. And often we can get into conflict or confrontation with another person because that other person has got another belief than ours. And we want to make ourselves right and them wrong. But when you make someone wrong, what does it serve to do? It serves to alienate that person. So beliefs that you have, the belief that you have is very important. And how often do we actually just sit down or think about our beliefs? We don't, but we are programmed beings. We come into this world, we're born into a culture, we don't get to choose our religion. You know, we're told by teachers, you know, those bodies that have an influence on us, and we're basically programmed to have particular beliefs which then lean into our perspective. So with this pandemic of coronavirus, if you believe that the coronavirus exists in terms of that there is a coronavirus, some people believe that there isn't a coronavirus, okay? Two different perspectives, but they're in between is the truth, right? And I thought about beliefs. I thought again about beliefs. I woke up one morning with this thought in my mind: if you believe a thing to be true, that thing will have a hold on you. So imagine, let's look at it from this perspective. You support the validity of the coronavirus by the way that you act, which is based on your belief. Just like the way a beam supports an architectural structure, you uphold it and you give it a leg to stand on. And like I said, my spirit said, if you believe a thing to be true, that thing will have a hold on you. In other words, in the supporting of coronavirus by your actions, coronavirus will have a hold on you. So what if you didn't give it the support? What if you didn't give it the support by not walking in the belief that it exists? Where would that lead you? How would you behave if you didn't believe that it exists? You'd be walking on the streets, yeah? You wouldn't be practicing social distancing. So you can see where if you're given something to believe in and you believe in it, and you know that most people are sheep, they will follow the trend of that and behave like the herd. So let's look at the power of belief. One day I was in my bathroom and I had just finished watching Jeepers Creepers. This was many years ago. And for days afterwards, I would come home and I would just imagine this huge winged creature as depicted in the movie flying towards me in my back garden. So the way that my house is positioned is I open my front door, and as I open the door, it looks directly into the room against at the other end of the building of my home, and there are double doors that open up into a back garden. So as soon as I open my door, I can see my back garden, and I just used to have this image of this winged creature. And I'm not usually disturbed by horror movies at all, but for some reason this had an effect on me. And obviously I knew it was a daydream, and so I would literally just say, come on V, don't be silly, you know, that it's just, that's just ridiculous, why do you keep on having these images in your mind? But imagine if I had paranoia, how I would have acted if I believed it were real. Like, had I walked in the energy of that belief, I would have started acting cagey. I wouldn't leave my home. I'd start acting crazy. People would think I have mental problems. Let's look at another example. I remember I was in my bathroom and I was feeling a little bit paranoid. I'd been having these disturbing dreams of being chased. Anyway, as I stepped into the shower, I firmly locked the bathroom door behind me. And even though I was home alone, I was afraid. I believed that something was out to get me. And I had to counsel myself. And my spirit said to me, look, if you lock that bathroom door, you're going to give your dream a support beam. You will have pulled that thought out of your dream, out of your imagination, and now you're going to start giving it life in this world by giving it a support structure, a support beam, by now physically taking action on that idea in your mind, which isn't even true. But the actions are solidifying in your mind that it's true. So my spirit said, don't lock the door, as you will be telling your mind that this thing is real. And isn't that what paranoia is? Isn't it when you think a thing to be true and it clearly isn't? So what did I do? I unlocked the bathroom door and I opened it wide and entered the shower, and I showered away the belief, and I went to bed, and I never ever had that dream of ever feeling chased again. Now, why was that? It was because I disallowed that dream. I disallowed that paranoia to actually take hold of me by not giving it a structure to support, not giving it a structure or a support beam to have a hold on me. And I've actually helped somebody like that in the past. I remember they had paranoia. They didn't want to go into their home. And they were staying at my sister's at the time. And I said, listen, I know that you've got that fear in you. You've been here for 2 days and it's just going to build up and build up. Go home. There is nothing there. And they took my advice. They went home. And they never had that problem again. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because I believe that in this period of isolation, we have vulnerable minds out there. And when they're in isolation, they're prone to start imagining all sorts of things. When you're alone and you haven't got anyone to speak to. So this is my way of telling you, supporting you through that period to help you to realize that it's paranoia. Because let me say it again, if you believe a thing to be true, that thing will have a hold on you. Now imagine everyone having that belief and everyone hiding in their homes. So I'm going to use coronavirus as an example. Everyone believes that coronavirus is real, and it's giving support and structure to that. I'm going to put in quote unquote dream. All you have to do is to get someone to believe something. That's all you have to do, and you have that person in your hands. So what am I really saying here? Is Valerie saying something covertly? No. You read between the lines. You form your own perspective. I heard this story first by T. Harv Eker. And to me, it nicely sums up the meaning of what I'm saying. There was a king that was loved by all. He was very kind, generous, and wise. One day tragedy struck and the water became polluted, and everyone that drank of it became insane. Only the king was spared, as he had his own private spring. Soon the villagers began to talk about how insane the king had become, that he had become cold, remote, mean and unfriendly. Soon he was no longer loved. His popularity waned. It declined, and soon no one ever visited him. One day, the king, feeling lonely, decided to visit the villagers. And so he came down from his castle on the hill, and feeling hot and thirsty, stopped to take a drink from the town's fountain. That night, the villagers had a huge celebration because finally their king's sanity had returned. Currently, people are walking around insane not realizing that they are gripped in potentially a false belief. Right now, there are people, the few on the hill, that are coming to us and voicing their perspective and saying, there is nothing in the stream. There is nothing in the stream that it's down to 5G. They've refused to give support to the dream that there is a coronavirus, and those people are well a product of their belief, which leads them down another road. They've refused to bite into, in their own words, the fruit of an illusion. So what is an illusion? It's something that isn't real. And it reminded me of the Adam and Eve story, where we see where Eve ate of the fruit that she was told not to eat because it would be indicative of her separation from God, indicative of her not being in alignment with his will. And in her taking off it, going against God's will, she now became separated from God. Separated from his will, separated from his covering. And the reason why I use that as an example is because Eve bit into essentially an illusion. And when she bit into that illusion, what do we then see happening as a result? Okay, so she bit into a false belief. And we see that she now went and she went and gave some to Adam. And then they hid their nakedness. You see how actions can follow on from a belief. And it's my personal belief that psychology has been passed down from generation to generation, that we are imperfect beings, which we are, because we have false idea of who we actually are. But that God sees us as he created us, but it is us that do not see ourselves as he created us. You know, God has unlimited power, but we cap our power because we see the brokenness within ourselves, therefore limiting us to be powerful beyond our imagination. And so therefore a new perspective was formed. And talking about perspectives, when I think about perspectives in terms of dating and relationships, you know, it can cause conflict, confrontation with another person. And when you make someone feel as if they're wrong, when you're coming from an energy of making the other person wrong, for example, in an argument, that is actually a divisive energy. When you're coming from that perspective that I am right and you were wrong, that energy can cause separation. And we see it in relationships, normal, just regular relationships. We see it in conversations around politics and religion. We see it addressed. We see it in romantic relationships even. Okay, where if we do not address the speed bumps in a relationship, in other words, the conflict that arises because you've made the other person wrong, that perspective can be detrimental to a relationship, because when it's not addressed, that speed bump can turn into a stop sign and then a wall because of a lack of communication. And communication is the core to every strong, authentic connection. So when you feel wrong around a person, it actually dismantles trust. It stops you from trusting the person to hear or to respect you, and vice versa. So when we think about conversing with others, especially on topics like politics and religion, it's about how we communicate on those subjects. It's about not making the other person feel right. It's not about making the other person feel wrong. It doesn't have to be divisive when you're able to suspend a judgment. And so in my book, new book called The Difference, I talk very much about perspectives because it's so important, and really it's what has got us into this divisive energy when we view the other or make them feel as if they're wrong. And why is this subject so dear to my heart? Well, it's based on an experience that I had, and in that experience I was told by my spirit that there is no difference between right and wrong. And in order to articulate that message, God, spirit took me on a journey and showed me where this was correct. So God showed me one day when I was actually sitting at my laptop, as I am now, and as I looked through the window, there's a tree, and under the tree there's a bench, and my spirit said to me, if you were sat on that bench looking up at that tree, you would be adamant that that tree is above you. And I said, yes, of course. But my spirit said, but yet if you were in that aeroplane above looking down, you would be adamant that that tree is below you. And I said, yes, of course. And spirit said, yes, but you're both right and you're both wrong at the same time, are you not? You see, the only difference is your viewpoint. The only difference is from where you are standing. You were never made competent to see the whole picture. Only God sees the entire picture. And how much conflict do we engage in because we cannot see the whole picture, because we make another person wrong? Another occasion, Spirit revealed to me one day as I was watching TV, and God will communicate with you through many different ways to get your attention. And I remember watching the screen one day, and on the screen I could see a woman walking along. This is on the TV, right? And I thought, okay, she looks happy, handbag over shoulder. Then all of a sudden, this guy came and he just rushed at her and pushed her to the ground, and all the contents of her bag scattered. And I was so indignant. I was like, what is going on? How could he do that? This is just how the world is. People can't walk the road in peace. Like, I was getting so upset. Until the camera zoomed out. And when it zoomed out, it showed that the lady was walking along sidewalk, or the pavement as we say here in London, and the bricks were about to fall from the building where they had scaffolding against it, and he was actually pushing her to her safety. So in one moment where I thought that I had the right judgment, just like that I realized that I was wrong. And Spirit showed me, you can never see the whole picture. That's why you need to lean on my understanding. So right now, we're living in a time where there are many perspectives that are bandying about. There's no coronavirus. It's a strategy to inject a vaccine into us to depopularize. it's 5G. They're killing us. There are so many different perspectives that are just floating around. But the thing is, God sees all of those perspectives because he's omnipotent, he's ubiquitous, he is everywhere at the same time. And so we need to lean on his knowledge, his understanding of the situation. And if you understand and know Bible verse, God has told us that anything that the enemy has planned for us, that he will use it for our good. So we have nothing to fear as God's children. But what do? We bicker, and while we bicker in conflict and confrontation with one another, the truth is actually at its side. And oftentimes we are looking in the wrong direction. So you may or may not be right with your different viewpoints. But one thing that I do know for certain is that God sees all. So how does that translate then to relationships? Well, again, it's the same thing. Lean not on your own understanding. If you're living in isolation right now and you're having arguments with your spouse, I've seen, again, memes sent round where, you know, I saw this one with this guy that had huge ears because he was tired of listening to his missus. Take the conflict to God. Take the understanding, your understanding, your perspective to God, and say, look, put it on the altar and say, God, help me resolve this situation. Because I believe that when we come out of this situation, there are going to be a lot of divorces. I guarantee you, there are going to be a lot of divorces where couples have been forced to live with one another. There are no distractions. Some of them have no kids, or they do have kids. And for some of them, they're actually going to experience a nightmare because we're living in a completely different way. You know, we're used to being able to be separate. We're social creatures. We can balance our emotions with being outside and coming back in. But now we are isolated. And it's a good thing because it forces us to see the truth. It forces us to face the truth. And for some people, it will make them even more connected with one another. So whatever the outcome is, I believe that it will be an authentic one. There are good things that have come out of this isolation. I've heard one woman say that there's less pollution in the air. Before, she would walk around and she'd feel like really chesty, you know, but now, she said the air is cleaner. So they're going to most probably implement a lot of the strategies and the changes that they've implemented that have served us better. So wherever you are in the world, appreciate what you have right now. Be honest with one another. Be tolerant with one another. Know that social distancing doesn't mean that you are disconnected. If anything, this experience should make you realize that you are in fact very connected, and that it's through our connection, our one movement, our one solidarity, that we get to conquer this episode, this unprecedented episode of our lives. So, I leave you on this note.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.